Welcome to the first chapel of the last week of classes before exam week. Who's ready to rock your exams? Who's ready to rock your exams? Feel it right here, right? I was originally supposed to do this chapel with Kate Develar, but she is sick, and I will forgive her that because I think I was the one that got her sick. So I hope that if you are feeling ill, that you use the hand wash on your way out. Don't touch people. Stay healthy because you need to keep your hearts and minds finely tuned for this last few weeks here. First, a quick announcement. The food drive is going on right now. And if you have peanut butter, pasta, cereal, pinto beans, you can drop them off in the back after chapel. Thank you. So these are actually Kate's words that I was tempted to read and claim credit for, but I will read them as if they were hers as we enter into and continue in this Advent season. Today we continue our journey through Advent. And as we talked about last week, it is a journey that involves waiting and hoping. So listen to what one preacher has to say about hoping and the church. The hope for us, says the church in Advent, is what we are out of hope, and we know it. We know in our better moments where our quest for self-affirmation has left us. Now, lost in the cosmos, victims of the monstrous technological toys we have created, we wander. America, with our bombs and bombers, our deficits for defense, our cheese and wheat stockpiled before the scandal of the poor and hungry shivering in the cold again this Christmas, our ancestors wouldn't know us. That's why the church generally refrains from singing Christmas carols during Advent, even though we cheat a little bit in here. That's why purple, the color of penitence, may adorn the altar and the neck of your preacher. We dare not rush to greet the Redeemer prematurely until we pause here in darkened church to admit that we do not need redemption. Nothing within us can save us. No thing can save us. And we've tried that before. No president, no bomb, no new car, no bottle, and no white Christmas can save us. That was Will Willimon. Kate continues here. What we are waiting for this season is the arrival of the one who can save us. As the prophet Isaiah reminds us, we are a people who are walking in darkness, but we are people who have seen a great light. And the way we symbolize the light in this season is through the Advent wreath. Each week, we light a new candle, reminding us of the coming light of Christ, that as we get nearer to Christmas, the light shines all the brighter.
Join me in this Advent reading. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. We light this candle in hope. Hope of our coming Savior, Jesus. We light this candle in love. The love that Jesus, our Savior, has for us. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
And so today we hear the voice from the prophet Isaiah. To hear this voice is to proclaim that Advent is more than a time to hear promises about God, but that Advent comes as a season of attentiveness to the presence of God already among us. So may you continue to learn what it means to actively wait in hope and in love. May you continue to challenge yourselves to do things that help you participate, to practice the discipline of waiting attentively. And now a meditation on the prophet Isaiah chapter 9. I invite you to watch the dancers as they move, as they interpret these words. If you need to get in a position where you can see them, that's fine. Meditation on Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto all of us, unto the widow, unto the homeless, the addict, the AIDS patient, unto us the football captain and the drag queen, unto us the politician, the factory blue collar, us the single mother, the crack baby, and unto us the affluent suburbanite. Unto us the goth, the hippie, the rocker, the alternative and underground. Unto us in Hollywood and on Madison Avenue, and unto all of us in between. Unto us in the gutters of Calcutta, unto the Muslim and the Jew, the Buddhist, the Krishna, and the Hindu, unto us the fatherless, unto the heavenly fatherless. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and a secret revolution begun. This is what the prophets had been preparing for. They said his name would be Most Beautiful Wisdom, the highest of heaven's secrets. His name would be the God who continually bends over backwards for you, the God who gets down on his hands and knees, the God who becomes silly and misunderstood, the God who would be mocked, the God whose name would be taken in vain. He would be called the God of the underdogs, the God of the powerless and unspiritual, the God of those who cannot pray or fast. And there would be no end to him and his underdog weaklings or their secret. There would be no end, even while nations continue to rage on, even as ethnos rises against ethnos, even as valleys are filled with dead bones and rivers run with blood, even as violence runs through our streets and schools and hearts, covering us like a thick fog. Even in this dark land of weak people, the God who bends over backwards will shine forth like a great light as the dawning of a new day, letting his secret spread forth with healing and joy. So drop the mirror and let it shatter. Crush the hourglass and stop the clock's ticking. Stand still, hold your breath, anticipate, imagine your wildest dreams. Sell everything and buy the farm. Come with me, cover your eyes, and hold out your hands. Stop your groans. The fast is over. Let the celebration begin, for the Father has come. He has sent us his Son. Unto us he has been born, even unto us.